You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Welcome to Cannon Fodder, a behind-the-scenes look at the Glass Cannon Network.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to Cannon Fodder. It is Wednesday, October 25th, 2023, and I'm your old buddy, Joe O'Brien.
And greetings, I'm Troy LaValle.
Hello, Troy. You're feeling dry this morning. I take it no comedy in the chamber there.
I thought you meant like parched, because I am feeling a little dry.
You know what? I am too. It's so funny. I was like just about to launch into the like, what's going on, everybody? And I realized that like my throat was a little dry, and I was like, do I have 1 second to like grab a water, take a sip? And I didn't. And then I was like, I'm gonna screw up the open. I thought it went really smooth, though. I think I crushed that open.
I didn't want to say anything. I don't want to pump up your ego, but you nailed it.
You really like to keep everyone's egos just
right. I'm not one for an attaboy.
You are not a big pat you on the back kind of fella.
I hate sending an email that's just like, thank you. It's an implied thank you. I don't need to thank you for everything. You
I
or
would
anyone.
Suggest you say more thank yous.
That's true. You know which time it takes to go thank you? I thank you.
I think you just argued against yourself. You know how much time it takes to go thank you? Yes, exactly that long.
I can't do it. Sometimes I'll do voice to text thank you, and it'll be like, thank lol. And I'll send it and be like, they'll figure it out. I'm not retyping this.
They'll figure it out. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the FOD, the hottest show on the network. We are launching into a bunch of exciting news this week. Very, very excited to drop a few things. I mean, one thing we mentioned earlier, but we're going to dig into it a little bit more today. We also have really exciting news about a whole new show that is about to launch, a whole new game that's coming this week, which is wild. We had to kind of keep it under wraps, but now we can bust it out and share with everybody. And we'll have a little We Are Stupid this week, just a slight one. We had a nice role play episode this week, but we'll also talk about episode 6 of campaign 2, of course. And then, as always, listener mail. But kicking us off is news of the network this week. And the thing that I want to jump into first and foremost is the re-up on the really exciting Extra Life Marathon that is coming. It is imminent. It is, geez, like 10 days away now, basically. 10 days away from our next Extra Life Marathon. We talked about this on FOD a week or two ago, but I'm curious if you would like to share some programmatic details, because we have we've made some decisions internally. I'm not sure where you're at on that.
Yeah, we do have to start sharing some information about this. So yesterday I was working on the schedule. It's almost nailed down, just trying to get some other people's schedules lined up to make sure that we can announce this. It's a pretty strong 24 hours if this all works out. But here's the first thing you got to do. The first thing you got to do is, if you are someone that wants to raise money for Extra Life, go to extra-life.org, extra-life.org. Sign up for a free account. Okay. That's the first thing you got to do. You just sign up for an account. You start an account. Then you set a goal for yourself. Could be $25, $50, $100, thousands of dollars, whatever you want. Set up a goal and join the Glass Cannon Network team. We're going to be putting that link up, but if you just search for teams, Glass Cannon Network team, because when you do that, any money you raise for your own goal goes towards our rather lofty goal of $45,000. If we hit this goal, or when we hit this goal this year, this will be the most we've ever raised. We keep raising the bar every year. We've set it for $45,000. But the easiest way for us to hit that goal is for lots of people to sign up for an account and join our team, because then their personal goal counts towards our mega goal. So that's the first thing you got to do. And then the second thing you got to do is just keep Saturday, November 4th completely free, because from 8 a.m. Eastern until 8 a.m. the next day, we're going to be gaming all day. And we're looking at, there's going to be some Lies of P, there's going to be some Baldur's Gate 3, there's going to be some like every Mario game that's ever existed. There's some role-playing games we're looking at. I don't want to say what, because they haven't been locked in, but Gloomhaven's been talking talked about.
Can we talk about The Sims? Is The Sims happening?
The Sims 4 is happening. Yeah, I mean, this is a really fun day, and you're going to get to see a lot of different personalities on the network if everything works out.
Including, you should at one time or another see every member of the Gatewalkers cast.
Yeah, right? That is the plan. Yeah,
at the very least.
Yeah, we've locked in Sydney and Kate for 3 hours of just Sydney and Kate. So.
Twitch takeover.
Get excited for that. I mean, it's a really fun day. It always creeps up on me, and I felt like I was ahead of it this year because a couple months ago I was like, November 4th, dude, we got to do this, and now it's like 10 days out. I'm like, it was Monday. I was like, all right, I got to start making this schedule because really, like, this is the easy part is the gaming and the making the schedule. The hard part is like letting people know, get those donations coming in before Saturday, so that like when Saturday comes around, we're already a few $1,000 into our goal. But yeah, get ready, get ready to open up your wallets. It's an amazing cause. Children's hospitals all around the United States. I mean, if you're not somebody,
yeah, that
like,
was one thing that you kind of skipped over there is just talking about Extra Life for people that aren't familiar, the charity that you're working for, especially if you start your own page, all these charities are children's hospitals nationwide, Children's Miracle Network hospitals, and that is so when you start a your own profile and you want to raise $25, $100, whatever that goes toward our team goal, you get to pick your specific hospital that your money goes to. So even though it's part of our overall goal, it doesn't go to our charity, like the one we choose. It goes to the one you choose. It's just part of our overall goal that, you know, all of these hospitals are linked as part of the Children's Miracle Network. So you and I even, you know, donate to two different hospitals. So it's just,
I do Boston Children's and you do which one?
I do Cohen's in New York because that was, my daughter was part of that Miracle Network and she was in the NICU and everything when she was born. So I definitely support that one have every year. So, yeah, there's just anyway, lots of opportunities to do a really good thing here. So and even if you can't donate a dollar, the best thing that you can do is just hang out with us on Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, but hang out, watch games.
Here's the thing. You can donate a dollar. And I say this all the time.
Like, how dare you assume?
If you're like, I literally cannot eat. Gotcha. Been there, sleeping on park benches. Been there. However, a lot of people think like, I can't donate money. I can't do it. You can donate a dollar. There's a lot of people that can find a dollar. And you think like, oh, they got a $45,000 goal. A dollar's not going to make a difference. Oh, it absolutely will. Because thousands of people watch our stream and watch the VOD afterwards. I always say this, everyone did a dollar, $2, $3. That shit adds up. And that's why we constantly hit our goal is because I preach that all day long during the stream. A dollar, $2, $3. You'd be surprised. Even if things are really tough, that dollar, that's paying it forward. You know, if it's at the end of the year and you're like, shit, I haven't like done any charitable work whatsoever. Let me kick a couple bucks to this. It really, really goes a long way and they make it super simple. You're like, I got to enter my credit card. It's super, they make it as easy as possible because nobody has any attention span anymore.
Well, very excited for that. And we'll do one more little plug on that next week on FOD just to remind you. And we'll hopefully have some locked in RPGs maybe. Right now we've got our video games pretty squared away, but we might have some, we're hoping to play some TTRPGs that day too.
Yeah, we're looking at about 5 hours of TTRPGs if everything works out.
And TTRPGs are going to be, the prime time slots. Like,
five to 10, basically, like Eastern. So it's going to be good stuff. And I thought like by today I'd have it, but we're still waiting on a couple people's schedules.
We'll see. Let's talk about the tour, because we're leaving today. This is airing today, Wednesday, October 25th, and we're flying out today to Chi-Town, baby. Our return to Chicago, going to City Winery out there. Chicago, really, after all of our harping on Cannon Fodder, got back on the horse. You guys were amazing, sold a ton of tickets, but there's still a couple left, from what I understand.
At the time of this recording, which we record this the day early, there's 24 tickets left. And they're like, can you send us a video so that we can put up ads? I'm like, fucking stranger is going to buy a ticket to our show without knowing what the hell this is about. No, we need the Nash to buy those last 24 tickets. So if you're out there and you're, like, oh, you're on the fence, it is going to be a party in Chicago.
It really is.
And then we're going to, you know, a little bit further south to St. Louis. I couldn't be more excited about this weekend. You know, Chicago is like my second favorite city, maybe third. It goes like Boston, New York, Chicago. And New York and Chicago are pretty close. It's just I've lived in New York
Me
forever.
Too. I absolutely love Chicago. So yeah, excited to get back there. I feel like we are all, as a cast, we're all pretty punchy and like ready to get back out there. It's been a while since Boston, and then before that was Indy. And
dude,
so
it's crazy.
We just haven't had like an isolated flight to a city just to do a show. Mm-hmm. So everybody is really excited for like even when we land on Wednesday, just to get together to have some deep dish. Except Kate, of course. Kate.
Yeah, Kate was talking mad shit about
Kate's
deep
talking
dish
mad
pizza.
Shit. Everybody, if you love Chicago pizza, get ready to you got to blow up Kate's spot because she's like, it's not pizza.
It's not pizza. It's lasagna. I think she said it's lasagna.
That's what she said at our last recording. Anyway, we're very, very excited to all get together. And yeah, Strange Aeons is wild and in an absolutely wild situation.
So combat, right out the gate.
Yeah, you have all that coming. So, I mean, it's going to be good. It's going to be juicy.
Holy shit. I mean, it was crazy because we went from like San Diego Comic-Con 2 weeks late, and we were in LA doing other stuff, then San Diego Comic-Con, then Gen Con, and then Boston even felt like it came right away. Now it feels like it's been forever since mm-hmm. we've been on the road. And so, I'm excited to play this game. We haven't played it in so long.
Yeah. So and also in between those two shows, you have the launch of Gatewalker. So you have all these new characters, first level that we're having a great time with that campaign, but we have not been regularly playing Strange Aeons anymore. So now we're chomping at the bit to get back in those characters' shoes. I mean, literally Sydney yesterday was just talking over email about her character and getting back into character and everything. So yeah, I'm very, very excited for that show. Also, this is the Halloween weekend shows. So I think you're going to, I mean, you're dressing up, right? I mean, I saw a little something, a little charge came through the old credit card. You got a costume.
I got a costume here, and one part of it is very easy to carry. And then I'm like, what was I thinking getting this costume? It's not going to carry this dumb thing around because I can't put it in a bag. It'll get smushed. But yeah, I'm decked out. I should probably try it on, make sure it fits. But
So very much looking forward to that. We encourage you to do the same. So dress up for the Chicago show, dress up for the St. Louis show. It's Halloween weekend. We're going to have a blast. Do your thing, cosplay or just wear a funny costume or a sexy costume.
Yeah.
Or whatever your thing is.
Funny and sexy. Go all up.
Why not? ¿Por qué no los dos? So that is the update on that. Oh, okay. So now we get into the juicy stuff because we here at the Glass Cannon Network have made some friends. And that launches a little show we like to call Friends of the Pod. So when our friends come to us and they say, we're working on a new game, we'd like you to play it and let's share it with the Nash. We put out episodes of Friends of the Pod. I can't remember what the last one was. Was it RuneQuest? Is that the last one we put out? Or did we have, or no, maybe it was
Vast Grim.
Yeah. So it's right around that Vast Grim. Basically Gen Con territory, right? Everybody was gearing up for Gen Con. Well, now we've got the first post-Gen Con Friends of the Pods landing, and the first one is coming this Friday night, live on Twitch, 8 p.m. Eastern. We are playing the new, unreleased, still in Kickstarter, Assassin's Creed RPG. We've actually recorded it. It's in the bag.
Yep.
And we had a blast, and Skid is running this one. So very, very excited. I think it's Skid's first Friends of the Pod that he's running.
Yeah, he jumped all over it because I was like, I feel like you know this setting better than any of us. So Skid's running it with you and me and Sydney and Abu Salim. It was the voice of one of the characters. I mean, they must have been so psyched. When I heard we were doing this, I'm like, well, I'm going to reach out to Abu. And I didn't even know at the time that he had done one of the voices. I was like, I just feel like this is a great fit because I know he's a big gamer. And then I was like, wait a minute. I think he did a voice of it.
Yeah, it was just amazing. And it's the first time that I get to play with Abu. So same. I'm very excited for you guys to see it. We're going to have two episodes of it. It's going to premiere on Friday night, this Friday night on Twitch. At 8 p.m. Eastern with character creation and a little tease adventure, a little bit of adventure. And then we wrap it up the following Friday, November. What is that?
John.
That is November.
November
3rd. It'll wrap up Friday, November 3rd. So very, very excited for that. Then a couple weeks after that, we are finally getting around to playing Gloomhaven. We're getting around to Friends of the Pod, the new Gloomhaven RPG, which we created characters during Gen Con. You can find that video on YouTube. Get yourself refreshed on who those characters were. That was really fun. That was the first show of the morning, day four of Gen Con, and everyone was so punchy and so exhausted, and my voice is so fried. It's just hilarious. Check that out, and you'll remember these awesome characters that that Skid, Josephine McAdam, Paula Deming, and Sydney Emanuel created to do a one-shot in the new Gloomhaven RPG. So that is going to air Friday, November 17th. So keep an eye out for that. We'll remind you of that as we get closer. But it's a one-shot Gloomhaven prison break. So very, very excited for you guys to check that out. All right. With that... Let's get into GCP. GCP episode 6. Campaign 2.
This is a largely
role-playing episode. We'll go into We Are Stupid in a second here, which we're just going to look back at last week. So first, I want to get into this particular episode. Let's just start with the capturing of Corimona and this entire sequence. It's a very important sequence, and my first question to you, seriously, it's just one of the players in the game. What was your thought process here with having one of these enemy combatants surrender and be subject to interrogation rather than fighting to the death?
Well, it's a suggestion in the book, and I thought it was a good one because it allows you to get a little more intel depending on how you interrogate before you move on to the next portion of the adventure. And, you know, when I was editing it and listening back to it, now that we've recorded future episodes, I was like, oh, man, I didn't even realize in the moment because it was improv how cool of a foundation was being laid out. I'm not tooting my own horn, but I guess I am tooting a little bit because I didn't do it on purpose.
I hear a little toot.
There's a little toot toot, but I was like, oh shit, man, this was kind of perfect the way she laid it out because she was just telling you what she knew. And, you know, it may be very different from the reality. And so now that I have the knowledge of how things have played out 10, 12 episodes later, it was pretty cool and telling. And so this is one of those episodes I think you should go back to and listen, you know, as later things unfold, because it's the first you're hearing of like what Bolon may or may not be up to.
Particularly the philosophy. That was my favorite part of it, is you want to make sure that your villain has a good philosophy, right? Like a philosophy that you can wrap your head around, at least in one way or another, that seems like a terrifying goal to achieve. And Corimona is a great setup for that because it's this fervent evangelist that has followed this teaching of we need to give nature back to nature fully. And in order to do that, we have to wipe out all civilized peoples in the world, including ourselves. And it was interesting. Like, I hate asking what's from the book and what isn't, but you have a tendency to joke around as a GM and frequently, and I do the same thing, frequently call the PCs out for murdering enemies and make it sound like it's not a fight, like like it's not self-defense, like these were innocent people or something like that.
You're the bad guys.
Right. You always drop, like you, and so you've murdered two Oak Stewards so far. And just using that word, it implies a certain guilt that you know, things you shouldn't have done. I do the same thing. It was amazing. I remember back in my, back in the day in my Council of Thieves campaign, which was an urban adventure. So all the enemies that you saw were just other people that lived in the city. They're not monsters, right? Yeah. They were just people with, you know, bad goals, I guess you could say, evil goals. I would frequently just like call the PCs murderers, and I would like try to get them arrested for stuff and like brought up on charges, and they would just be like, what are you talking about? These people are trying to take over the city and kill all the poor people or whatever. And it was just really funny to get them all psyched out in their own heads about it. But in this case, what I'm curious about is how much you actually believe this philosophy, that because one of Corimona's primary objections to what's happening is like, look at what you are doing. Look at what you do. This is what we do. We just kill each other and we cause all these issues, and it is a reason that we should be wiped out. Do you think this is something that's transferring over from Bolon's philosophy? Or do you think maybe this is just Cory Mona in the moment kind of reacting to the bloodshed that she just witnessed?
No, I think that this is definitely coming over from Bolon's philosophy. If he's turned a certain amount of Oak Stewards over to his cause, it has to be a cause that has some worth to it. Now, yeah. Obviously he's an extremist, but you can't imagine that there was like so many dissenters that were just looking for an out from the, whatever the commanding ethos of the Oak Stewards was.
Probably just the Druid code, you know what I mean? Like the kind of,
I think that this is an extremist way of looking at things, but it had to be convincing enough that other people were like, yeah, you know what? This Bolon guy's right. And the fact that like he's gone through the experience that you guys have gone through and he's come back changed and they kind of rever him like he's enlightened now. He knows things. And, we just think that like he's in the right. And they even say like, they don't want to do this. They would never hurt a unicorn. But they have to because of the greater good that they're trying to, go after here. But you also get the sense that like maybe Cory Mona doesn't know the whole story. Cause you'll ask her a question. She's like, I don't know. I wasn't involved with that. I wasn't involved with this.
Right. And she's like an enforcer, right? She's a footman, just sort of somebody at the ground level. She's not necessarily making all these choices or doesn't know Bolon's mind fully. So it was interesting to listen back and to hear. Also, is it Rever or is it Revere?
Revere is a city in Massachusetts.
No, that's Revere.
That's Revere. Rever. Rever. I think it's Rever. It could be either. Did I say Rever?
You said Rever.
It is Revere.
And it sounded funny to me.
It is Revere. Rever. Am I thinking of like a reverie?
Yeah, I think that you pronounce it that way in some usages of the word when it's like.
Right. Revered. He is revered. You would be revered. You wouldn't be revered.
Right.
Yeah. I fucked it up. No, you were right to point it out.
I just wanted to make sure everybody knew you were stupid.
You know, I make fun of you a lot. I'm glad you.
This is what we do. This is what we do. This is the foundation of our friendship. So let's move on to the scouting of the scene. Love this scene because you have both. You have Lucky and Zephyr getting out on their own. So often we're so afraid to ever split the party in any situation that it's actually sometimes difficult for two characters to bond at all, right? To like have a connection in a role-playing way. And so it was nice to have a scene where not only are they advancing the story through their scouting of the gnome forest fortress, whatever you want to call it, but they are also connecting. And not even connecting like they're going to be BFFs. Like they're connecting and showing how different that they are, but also these things that they have in common. They're both sort of like loners. They both sort of have never really worked with people before, worked hand in hand with people. And I think that it was a really nice moment, but it comes on the backdrop of exploring this place, which seems, of course, to have no advantage to us. Like there's no way in. Everything is trapped. All you can do is go in the front door. This is a really frustrating situation, and I want to know. Like, I really want to know. Is there really no, like, other way in? Really? Or did they just fail their perception checks?
No, I mean, there's probably other ways in, but they're dangerous.
There's no safe way in.
Yeah, there's really no safe way in, period. You know, it's not like
that's
like
really what it seemed like.
Seems like there's one staircase, and so you have to have a plan. And it seems like you have a plan.
We have a plan.
The trees have all been stripped, and there are like spikes and grease on them. So like they're fortifying themselves against any, they know they're up to no good and they don't want anyone to bother them. They really have to go in the front door.
Is this something you saw coming / expected, like a full scouting of the area to give like as much information as we asked for about the location?
No, not at all. No. And I'm fine with it. You know, I think in the past when people would want to do that, I'm like, I would like steer you away from it. Like, are you sure you want to do that? But now I'm like, all right, let's see what happens here. And we got a great moment out of it, that end moment. Because I'm just like, all right, what is the end of this episode now? Where are we going here? We got to go back to the camp scene and have you get high with Talitha, and I'm still looking for the ending, and also giving you some information, kind of re-solidifying the fact that there's only one way in and one way out, and then was able to find a cool kind of spooky ending.
Yeah, it was great. I loved the ending, and I'm looking forward to, I don't know, expanding more on that scene with Brother Ramius and Talitha as well. That has a purpose. It's not kind of out of nowhere, and it'll be revealed more over time. I think Brother Ramius is this connection to the Drakeheart and what that is and how that came to be is something that is a very early seed that I'm planting. I hope he lives long enough to so that you can see where that goes, but it doesn't come out of nowhere. So
yeah.
Anyway, great role-playing app. Like I said, We Are Stupid is light this week. So we'll just dip into it for a second here before we move on to listener mail. Let's go back. Oh, so obviously Professor Eric points out, and it's painful for me to listen back to that episode and continue to hear us screwing up the dying to wounded condition. Yeah. And we talked about it last week on Fodder. Look, it's going to happen a few more times, but and then it'll never happen again, right, Troy?
Well, you know, it's
never
funny. That, again. In episode, what's coming out this week? Seven?
Seven.
All right, so I was editing eight the other day, and I said it, and I just cut it out. I was like, all right. There's a cut here. I can be able to never hear it. So I'm going to try and do that because, like, obviously we've already corrected it. And we also, there hasn't been any irreversible repercussions because of that mistake, which is the right. Most important thing.
That is the most important thing. And for those of you that cringe and find yourselves almost unable to continue listening because of such a mistake, just know it hurts me worse because I can't stand listening to it when we know that we did it wrong.
You know what? It doesn't bother me that much.
I know. It doesn't bother you at all. It drives me nuts. I mean, it's
there's
why.
There's a lot going on in the world. The missing wounded one and wounded two doesn't bother me.
Well, when you put it that way.
I kind of just move on. I'm like, oh, yeah. I guess I could get angry about that.
Or I just I
could,
move on the window. Just look out the window at my children playing outside and realize what really matters in life. Yes, you're right, Troy. That does matter more than dying to wounded.
Clearly, you think this is more important than the conflict in the Middle East, and I think you've made that abundantly clear, Joe.
For God's
and
sake.
I'm going to clip that and Don't let the that. World know.
Don't clip that.
Joe and everyone that posts on social media care more about the rules than the conflict in the Middle East.
How rude. I'll tell you what I do care about. I do care about a little spell called heal. And we're going to dip back into it just for a minute because at my request,
heal.
Professor Eric wrote in a little heal treatise to me because I said, explain to me why I would use the three action heal. And in my mind, the explanation that he has laid out has not it has not turned on any light bulbs for me. This is exactly how I thought about this spell. And he starts right off saying that the two action heal, I want it word for word, that the two action heal is by far the most effective use of the spell. In general, the two action version is far and away the most effective use of the heal spell. The flat +8 per level is just amazing to ameliorate poor dice rolls. And that's exactly what I'm saying. It's like those poor dice rolls are really bad. Now, what he does point out, and I did say this last week very, very briefly, I said like it gets better at later levels. But the way he puts it, which makes sense, is the more dice you add to the pool. So as you level up, it becomes 2d8, then 3d8, then 4d8 every level. Or every level of the spell, as you heighten it and it grows in power, the more dice you add, you just give yourself a much better chance of hitting an average when you roll. Mm-hmm. The swing between one hit point and 8 hit points at first level is wild. I mean, it is life and death at first level because that represents 50% basically of everybody's total hit points. And you could go from 1 to 8. I mean, it's just intense. So even getting 2 die is going to ameliorate what he said, the horrible swinginess, to use his terms. But in combat, or I'm sorry, let's talk about utilizing the three action version. Here's where the three action version is strong. When you're surrounded by undead. Yes, obviously, of course. That's very, very effective because in 2E, I don't know if you know this, Troy, but it both heals and harms in 2E. Like in 1E, you had to choose. It heals all living creatures and harms all undead all at the same time, which means it's phenomenal when you're in that situation. We just are not in that situation. And I'm curious if we are ever going to be. I actually am very curious about this point. And it's not a question I'm asking you, because I think that it's a stupid thing to ask.
Will there be an undead horde at all?
Is there an undead element to these gates or this adventure? You know, it doesn't seem like it to me, but you never know. You never know. In that situation, and you know what, any adventure can just throw in an undead encounter at any time. But sure. I don't see this adventure as being heavily undead themed at any point in any book. But I could be wrong. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. And then also in combat, if you have multiple characters down and dying, you can stabilize multiple characters with an AoE heal. It doesn't matter what you roll on the die. So of course, in those cases, it's going to be great. And then the last way is really when you're out of combat and you have multiple people that are hurt and you don't have time to treat wounds. So you're out of combat. You know another combat is one or two rounds away. The AoE heal is probably the better way to go once the spell is second level and up. I would still say that it's probably better to do the two action version even out of combat in that situation, because I'd rather give the most hit points to the person that can do the most amount of damage. So keep them up the longest and just try to, and the people that have low hit points, just try to stay out of harm's way as long as you can in this next combat, and I'll try to heal you in another round. So anyway, some interesting thoughts there from Professor Eric on
a lot of pressure
the heal spell.
On you, because you're really the only one that can do it in combat, so... Like do any type of legitimate healing in combat. So
yeah, it's really interesting. It is interesting and something I'm excited to explore. This being a primary healer in combat is not something I've done too much of. And in this case, there's a lot of strategy to it and you have a very limited resource that you can use it for. And so you got to pick your moments and, I don't know. I'm having fun with it. I think it's exciting. I think a lot of people don't ever want to do it, and I don't really know why. I mean, I'm even one of them, and I can't really explain why. I think it's tactically just as fun. But I think, I don't know, people just like dealing damage, I guess. I guess that's the most fun thing, is to output a lot of damage. I don't know. I have fun outputting a lot of damage, too. So,
yeah. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how Colonel Luther would have played differently in 2E. If I would have done more in combat healing, because I always was adamant that like channeling during a fight wasn't a good use of,
and I agreed with that
for him, especially where I didn't take selective channeling.
Yeah.
But even with selective channeling, you know, it's just like channeling is like, all right, let's get some juice after a fight. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see old Colonel Luther in 2E. So we want to do a Ruins of Aslan 2E conversion?
Don't tempt them. Don't tempt them. Here's one more thing I just wanted to mention on it really quick. This is an interesting thing that I didn't think of. So we have always thought of this, how much more dangerous it is to bring somebody up from dying. We even say it in episode 6, to bring somebody up from dying when they're in melee with an enemy.
Yeah.
You're better off to just leave them dying for the moment, especially if they have a bottle cap, you know, just let them die and stabilize with their bottle cap or whatever, like rather than bringing them up to 3 hit points.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so what Professor Eric says here, if you're going to do an AoE channel and you have multiple people down or whatever, one interesting tactic is to specifically and purposefully delay your action until you know you will have multiple PCs in a row in the fight go. So, like, you don't want to heal, and then if the enemy's after you, it's better for you to delay your action, go after the enemy, and then burst that thing off when your allies are going to have 2 or 3 turns right in a row. So that's kind of a good point that I didn't think of. Usually if your allies are dying, you think, well, I need to go as soon as possible and heal them or stabilize them. This is an interesting tactic, which is if you can get somebody who can wake up and then heal themselves further, like somebody like Talitha could, right? Like if I just get her to 1 hit point, then she can quick craft a tincture, drink a healing potion on her turn, make sure I wait till right before her turn to heal her. Don't heal her when there's 2 enemies that are going to go before.
It's so tricky strategy. Because like if you bring someone back up, they're wounded one. And then if they get back into the fight and get crit, they go straight to dying three. And like now the chances of death have increased exponentially. But if the only other option is just like, well, figure it out with your bottle caps, like that may be the safest option. But when multiple people start going down, it's going to get real, real tricky because I'm not going to take my foot off the gas. You know, if you're going to get back in the fight, you're a target. And a really, really smart enemy out for blood or like a, you know, a big combat where I'm like looking for a kill. I might notice you're up and just fucking while you haven't even got a chance to grab your weapon. You're still prone.
Yeah.
I love doing that shit.
So anyway, that was a good point. I just not something that I had thought of, not something I had experienced yet as Brother Ramius. So it's something I want to keep in mind. It's like use that opportunity to delay because with Foundry, we can see the lineup. You know, you can you can see the coming initiative, especially if you're into the combat where the enemies aren't going to surprise you with their initiative. You can pick the best time to bring somebody back. It's probably right before their turn so that they can then heal themselves maybe a little bit. Okay, let's get a couple questiones from the nation here.
Forgot about listener mail.
Yeah, buddy.
It's time for listener mail. Gotta get your brain up on it. Time for listener mail.
Thank you, good buddy Nick. The first question we're going to have today comes in from Thomas, who says, hey, good buddies.
Hey.
When are we getting more Maddie Caps Star Wars content? Love the show. Love you guys. Come back to Denver. I put it on the list because this has come up multiple times in the last 2 weeks over email.
Has it?
We're cooking. Yeah. The beakers are cooking.
Oh, you mean in our lab? Emails.
Yeah, in our emails with Matthew, everything. He wants to run Star Wars. We're trying to find a spot to put it in. I think it's going to be coming. I think you're going to see some Star Wars in November and December or either or maybe even both. Your thoughts?
Yeah, sure. I don't want to play, but I will if the right opportunity comes up.
I can't believe you. You're out of your mind. The fact that you wouldn't want to play that phenomenal.
It's a lot of fun, and I like the
calamari in Star Wars. Does your my blood? Do we not bleed? Does your blood not come out blue and burn the ground?
Not come out blue and burn the ground. Yeah, no, it's fun. It's fun. That's fun. It's fun to be funny. But yeah, no, we have something on the books, but it's really dependent on a schedule. So if one of the person's schedule doesn't work out, maybe before the end of the year, but as it gets closer to the end of the year, if it doesn't work out this time, it's going to be trickier. But you know,
right, it might not happen, but we're trying to make it happen, Thomas. We promise. Also, you don't have to play.
It's true, but then no one will watch. You see, what's interesting about me, Joe, is that like people who enjoy me watch and people who hate me hate watch.
Yeah, they love watching.
It's a real tricky thing. The straw that stirs the drink. not Jackie Robinson. Who said that? It was Reggie Jackson. Did you ever
Reggie
see that?
Jackson.
It wasn't a documentary. It was like a... I don't know if it was an HBO show or something. I'm the straw that stirs the drink. Matthew definitely wants to play. We're trying to make it happen. Stay tuned. There's more to that adventure, that endless adventure that we'll never finish.
That endless, like, starter adventure. It's supposed to just be a starter adventure. We've been playing it for 3 years. Yeah. We really have.
Across multiple
casts. That's not even an exaggeration. Yeah. We started that adventure in 2020.
It has a longer run than EchoQuest.
And it's just basically the quick start kit for the Star Wars. I mean,
it's because we just jack off the entire time. I mean, I don't even remember what Dalgo was. I just remember what we made
Dalgo.
Dalgo! Yeah, it could be happening very soon or maybe next year.
Or maybe never again. Okay, one more today. This one is a little juicy, a good question, a heartfelt question. I really appreciate it. It's going to be hard to answer, especially for Troy, I think. But let's give it a shot. Joseph writes in saying, "Hey, fellas, hope this finds you and yours well. I'm a big fan, especially of Get in the Trunk, and wanted to ask a question pertaining to group chemistry." He goes on to describe getting into a Delta Green game with members of the Nash on Discord. Like, they started up a DG game. And he says that sometimes he finds himself holding back from a role play perspective because he doesn't know the people he's playing with super well, and he doesn't know how they're going to react if he says something stupid, or more importantly in DG, like, does something stupid that could, like, foul up the mission.
Yeah.
You know, any advice to help overcome this fear would help greatly, as I'm beginning to think I may be lessening the experience not only for myself, but more importantly for the other players who are much more intelligent than me and far better role players and improvisational storytellers who deserve better. Thank you for reading. Well, thanks for writing in, and I'm so glad you started a DG game. I guess the question that I would frame out of that to you, Troy, is, have you ever found yourself in one of our games on the network at all where you felt like you weren't comfortable in your own skin in terms of the role play, the character you were playing or the people you were playing with, and you felt like you were taking a back seat? Does that happen to you often? Because you always seem so confident when you're playing.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly has happened over the years. I think it less so, you know, as the network has grown and, you know, we don't really play with a lot of strangers anymore. You know, and it just doesn't, as a performer, it doesn't take me long to feel comfortable, and also to feel like, just from years of acting on stage, like, you just know when it's your time. You know, that's something you just get through practice. You just know, like, when it's your time and when it's time for someone else. And also when it's time to, like, pull people in who may be reserved. You know, that's the role of a good GM, is like making sure not only people are sharing the spotlight, but that you're helping to get performances out of people who are, you know, who are shy or who feel like they're not as talented as everybody else. But it's definitely something I felt in the past, you know, and I think that, you know, when it comes up now, it's probably why I lean more into just goofing off constantly, because then I don't have to worry too much about that. Like, I don't enjoy really serious role playing, unless it really is called for. You know, with Delta Green, what we do in Get in the Trunk, I feel like it, I like to go back and forth, because that just interests me in terms of the character of Cumstone. I like to go, like, so off the wall zany, and then, like, you know, also be super serious. But that's kind of what Delta Green is. Like, I don't really enjoy the system of Delta Green. I don't think it's a very strong system. And so, like, if you're playing Delta Green, you're there to improv. That's what I think. It's like, maybe this isn't the right game. Because this is Delta Green is like story time with your friends. And so if you're not feeling comfortable improvising, it might be better to find a more, a chunkier mechanical game where improv isn't necessary to move things along. With Delta Green, it's tricky. Unless you're really good at describing what you do and you don't want to improv, like, you know, I'd like to go find a place and I'll walk up to them and, you know, I'm going to try and get this information rather than role playing it out. That's totally fine. And we've talked about that a ton on the FOD before.
There's also the issue of being decisive in Delta Green and making hard choices, because there's a lot of choices in Delta Green for how you approach combat, not just combat, how you approach dangerous situations and also, like, legally tenuous situations. And that can be a fun thing to throw all caution to the wind with. But I can kind of understand where you're coming from if you're thinking, oh, well, I don't want to, like, torpedo the whole group and the mission by doing something bold that I think is my character would do. So I'm just going to just be quiet. Sometimes those things make for a really fun game. Like, don't hesitate too much to do a bold thing, not just for the sake of being bold, but if you think your character would actually do it. You know, Troy, you've played a couple games, one of which I know for sure has not aired, and I don't think ever will, where you played outside the network and played with other people. Did you ever find yourself in those games where you're just kind of a guest, being a little gun shy with your, you know, how much you, I don't know, jump into the game?
I definitely spend a lot of time early on, and I haven't done that in a while, just listening, you know, listening and choosing my moments, you know, especially in bigger casts, like, choose your moments. And then when the spotlight comes on you, whether it's initiative or, like, you haven't spoken in a while, like, just be ready with something. Like, yeah, you know, whenever we do shows that have like 9 people on them and I'm a player, like Thunder Company and whatnot, it's like I wait till it comes to me and I'm thinking like, what's something really fun that I can do in this moment? Because this is my time to shine.
Yeah. You've only got 30 to 60 seconds, right, to do something that really catches people's attention. But you've got 15 minutes to think of what that thing is. You know what I mean? So think about it ahead of time and start to plan. Like, when it comes to me, I want to have this thing prepared.
Dude, it's fucking crazy. So I recorded this thing. I've never actually gone at length about it, but there was like 14 people on it. And it was like Matthew Lillard, Jason Charles Miller, B. Dave Walters, Aubrey Iyengar, Brennan Lee Mulligan, like everybody who is now like big, big, big time. And me. And I didn't know anybody. I'd met Lillard once. I had met JCM once. And Nora was in it. So I knew Nora. I felt good about knowing Nora. And so I was like, oh man, I want to use this as an opportunity to like shine and impress, but not be a scene hog. So I just made sure anytime it came to me, I was ready to go with zingers and with like funny moments. And I think that's like a good lesson. It's like if you're feeling nervous or you want to like shine, it's just like choose your moments and really think about what you want to do in that moment during the time when everybody else is speaking so that you can come in and blast something out there.
Also, if you struggle with improv the way that I do, another thing to help break the ice a little bit for you is to go to your handler and just suggest a flashback and write yourself a scene. Because then you can do something that's outside of the immediate realm of the game, but it's something that can offer depth to your character, that can entertain the other players and get them into it a little bit more, maybe even spark some interest in your character. And it gives you the opportunity to just pre-write something so that you can be prepared and feel confident in it and then just do it. And it has no impact on the immediate narrative. It's not going to turn the tide of the investigation in a way that's going to stop you from being able to move forward. That is, to me, is a really good icebreaker to hog the scene for a little bit, but you're already planning with the handler when the handler wants that to be in the game, when the handler thinks that moment is right for the game, so you're not shoehorning it in somewhere. So I think that is also a good tactic to use to stretch your muscles a little bit and break the ice.
Yeah, like, and if you're worried about torpedoing the investigation, you can also talk to the handler beforehand and be like, I'm thinking about doing these things, but like, I don't want to like get killed right away or kill everybody else. And maybe depending on the handler, they might be like, well, try it. Or like, well, maybe don't do that, but try this instead. You can have that conversation so that you don't feel like you're screwing the group. But also like a good handler, a good GM should choose their moments on like when to bring down the hammer. Like there are times, especially in Delta Green, where you may make a decision that as written or whatnot can lead immediately to death. And it's up to the handler whether or not they're going to go through with that. But like, I don't know, I feel like if someone has been super shy and all of a sudden they come out with an idea that is like an idea that should mean death, it's much more interesting result for the handler to use that as a teaching opportunity and have something, a fate worse than death or something more creative and debilitating happen than just outright killing someone for being creative. It is a super fine line that you only learn through years of running these games.
Yeah. And that's a tricky one. That's kind of on the handler. Also, lastly, I'll say, don't be afraid to throw your ideas out there to the group in character for what you want to do in a certain situation. And you might get everyone coming down on you being in character, being like, no, we're not going to do that. No way we're going to do that. That would set off this or this or this. And you would like, maybe you think, oh yeah, they're probably right. You don't have to double down on everything you suggest. You can suggest fun and kind of like outside the box thinking, and then everybody talk you down. And then in character be like, oh, you guys are right. You guys are right. Or, you know, just make it funny and be like, that's just fine. Fine. And just like curl up into yourself as a character. I don't know. Basically, just because you suggest something doesn't mean you have to do it. Doesn't mean you have to, you know, dig your feet in. You can just throw things out there. And you never know when somebody might be like, actually, I kind of like that idea. And then you have one person on your side and then two people are arguing about what to do with the body or whatever. And it's just fun. It just makes for a more fun game than if you were just totally quiet. So, yeah. Anyway, thank you for the question. I hope you can build a little bit more confidence in that game. Believe me, I know how you feel, and I know that it is much easier said than done. But you just got to rip the Band-Aid off. You got to try somewhere. and just see how it goes. Is it really going to torpedo the group? If it does, and they don't even want to play with you anymore, then that was never a group you should have been in the first place. I mean, that's as simply as I can put it.
And now you'll have a night off free from the week.
Exactly. Exactly. yeah, the Troy solution would be just don't play because playing just sucks. Don't play.
Go start a new group with people who are cool.
Remember we used to do this back in the original FOD. People would write in questions about like, oh, I'm struggling with one of the players in my group. He's a real asshole, blah, blah, blah. And like 100% of the time we would be like, just kick him out of your group. Just
kick him out of the group. He sounds horrible. But he's my best friend. Well, find a new best friend because he sucks.
Amazing. All right, guys, that is going to wrap it up for the FOD this week. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Always a pleasure. We are hitting the road, heading to Chi-Town, baby.
Hit the road, Jack.
Hit the road, Jack. And St. Louis. And St. Louis, which sold out twice. So thank you, St. Louis. You guys are the best. We're going to have Halloween costumes. It's going to be a blast. Can't wait to share it with the Nation via video and audio after the fact. So have a great time, everybody. Have a great Halloween. And we'll talk to you next week before Extra Life. So we'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. For more podcasts and live streams, visit glasscannonnetwork.com. And for exclusive shows and content you can't find anywhere else, subscribe today at jointhenation.com.